Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the prophetic experience, where the word of the Lord comes alive, with nationally known prophet Laron Matthews. Prophet Matthews has prophesied to Kirk Franklin, Ty Trabet, Bishop Rance Allen, many world leaders, just to name a few, and he welcomes the international world and families to his ministry. He recognized the pains, hurts, disappointment, and needs of the people through love, faith, prayer, and communication. God has anointed Prophet Matthews to be able to meet the challenges of a generation and people searching for an authentic message that reaches a pressure-filled life with the strength of God's love for them. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the service. God bless you.
To be, oh God, and what you wanted us to become in the name of Jesus. Lord, we know, Lord God, that there's a wonderful thing that you're about to do in our lives, oh God. And we know the enemy's assignment, Lord God, is to kill, steal, and to destroy. But not in this moment, in Jesus' name, God, because we come to you, Lord God, open, Lord God, and naked and unashamed, oh God. We thank you, oh God, that you are wonderful and magnificent in all your ways, that you see fit, Lord God, to change our character, to change our thought patterns, to change everything about us, oh God. The things that we feel uncomfortable about, God, you said, Lord God, that your grace is sufficient for thee, oh God. So, Lord, we come to take a place, Lord God, and take a hold of your mercy and your grace on today. And we ask that you will lead us into the path of your righteousness in the matchless name of Jesus. Now, those, Lord God, that are in relationships, Lord God, that are in marriages, oh God, that are on the rocks, oh God, we pray in Jesus' name, Lord God, that you will bring balance to the relationships right now in Jesus' name. God, we pray that you will touch the husband in the name of Jesus and raise them up, oh God, into their proper place in Jesus' name. God, we pray that they will be able to provide for the family, Lord God, not only, Lord God, in the money, Lord God, financially, Lord God, but spiritually, in the name of Jesus, emotionally. Oh God, we thank you, oh God, that you will raise him up, Lord God, to show love towards his wife in Jesus' name and meet those needs, Lord God, that she needs in Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray for the wives of God that she will be able, Lord God, to understand her husband and be able to know what to pray and how to pray and to shut down every illegal sound in Jesus' name, to go into those secret places, oh God, that you reveal to her and that you reveal to him in the name of Jesus, so they will know what to pray, oh God, to build a hedge of protection, Lord God, around their marriages in Jesus' name. And Lord God, even around their children, oh God, I thank you, oh God, that every, Lord God, generational curse has been broken off of their lives in Jesus' name. God, I thank you in advance, God, that those that want to have children will be able to do so in Jesus' name. And those, Lord God, that have lost their child or lost their children, Lord God, for whatever reason, Lord God, and they're still grieving, even, oh God, we pray in Jesus' name that you will cover them and keep your heads of protection over their mind, oh God, where they will not lose their mind in this hour, in this season, Lord. But Lord, you said you will keep them in perfect peace if their mind is stayed on you, oh God. So Lord, we pray that you will encamp your angels about every family member, oh God, about every marriage in Jesus' name, around, Lord God, every single woman and every single man, Lord God, that has to take care, Lord God, their children, Lord God, on their own, oh God, we pray that it will stand up. And Lord God, lift their hands up to you as a sign of surrendering in Jesus' name. Oh God, knowing that they cannot do anything on their own, God. But if you, Lord God, take a hold of everything that they need, Lord God, we know that you shall supply every need, Lord God. Every need shall be supplied in the name of Jesus, where they're not lacking in anything in Jesus' name. Even in the inward parts, Lord God, where their emotions are wrecked in oh God, and their part, Lord God, their hearts, Lord God, is broken in many pieces, oh God, because of failures of relationships, oh God, because they keep failing over and over again, God. But I thank you that you shall be their sustainer, oh God, in the matchless name of Jesus. I thank you in advance, God, that it shall rise up and they shall, Lord God, lean on to you and not their own understanding in this hour, in this season, Lord God. Thank you for the ministry that you set before them, oh God, where they will love one and they caress it, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, and they take their minds off of wanting to be with someone. But Lord God, let their mind be focused on you in the name of Jesus, God, because you said you shall be their husband, oh God. And I thank you, oh God, that you're everything that they need and so much more in Jesus' name. Lord, we give you glory and honor and praise, oh God, for what you're going to do, Lord God, even in those, Lord God, that has a single, that are single for whatever reason, God. Maybe they've been divorced, oh God. Maybe they, Lord God, have, Lord God, never been married, oh God. Maybe they, Lord God, their spouse has passed away, oh God. But Lord, I thank you in advance, God, that you're working it out for them and for their good in Jesus' name. God, I thank you for the education, Lord God, that you're going to supply to them, Lord God, the wisdom, the knowledge, and understanding that comes from your holy word, Lord God, that's going to reveal, Lord God, your revelation, Lord God, that will set the captives free in Jesus' name, that will set their minds free in Jesus' name, Lord God, that will set their hearts free in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you that you are the guard, that you are the guard, the gatekeeper, oh God, of their soul, and you are the gatekeeper of their heart and of their mind, oh God. And so, Lord, I thank you that you're restoring to them everything that they need, Lord God, their next season in Jesus' name. And Lord God, I pray in Jesus' name that the devil will be defeated, and he is defeated in Jesus' name. God, I thank you in advance, God, that everything, Lord God, that they need, you shall supply in Jesus' name. God, I thank you that you're opening doors, Lord God, that they will be able to walk in the name of Jesus and say, oh God, it was only you that can do it, oh God. I thank you in advance, God, that those, Lord God, that have a disability, oh God, and those, Lord God, that feel, Lord God, that they cannot move on, those that feel like they cannot be, Lord God, what you have called them to be, oh God, I pray that you will build the confidence in them in Jesus' name, that they will be able, Lord God, to run and not be weary in Jesus' name. I pray, God, that they will open their eyes and see you, oh God, for who you are in Jesus' name. God, you are the big picture, oh God, of what they need, Lord God, so open their vision, Lord God, to be able to see you, oh God, as the true and living God, that loves them in spite of what they're dealing with, in spite of their disappointments, oh God, in spite of what, Lord God, their shortcomings, oh God, in spite of, Lord God, their elements, oh God, and what they're feeling in their bodies, oh God. You are the one that can make them whole, oh God, and I thank you in advance, God, as they bow their heads, oh God, as they kneel before you, oh God, as they, Lord God, lay humbly before you, oh God, we thank you in advance, God, that there's a great work that you're about to do, oh God. Anoint them afresh, oh God, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hey, God, I thank you for what you're about to do, oh God, and every man and every woman of God, Lord God, that is living, Lord God, a life, Lord God, that is full of abundance, oh God, but yet still empty inside, oh God. We pray in Jesus' name, Lord God, that you will fill their cup, oh God, and fill that void in the bush. Yes, God, in the bush. Yes, in the name of Jesus, fill the void, oh God. We thank you in advance, God, that you're ahead of protection over their mind, oh God. They will not lose their mind in this hour, in this season, God. They will not lose their love and their compassion for the people of God. They will not lose, oh God, anything, Lord God, that you have given to them, Lord God, but everything that needs to be shaken off of them. In the name of Jesus, shall be shaken off of them. In the name of Jesus, shake it off. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, cast your cares out of the boat, so in the name of Jesus, cast your cares upon him. name of Jesus. God, I thank you, for doing, oh God, on today, oh God, let every tear, oh God, that falls, oh God, at my name, oh son, you will hold it, oh God. You see it as precious in your eyesight, oh God. I thank you, oh God, that every heaviness, oh God, oh the Lord, when they walk above my sheet, oh God, and when they wake up, oh God, and when they walk, oh God, they will feel light as a feather, oh God, for all the cares, oh God, that they had in their hearts, oh God, and all the heaviness and all the weariness, oh God, they cast it down at your feet, oh God. Oh, Jesus, hey, God, I thank you. You're magnificent, hey. God, you're wonderful and excellent, hey. The show, Rabati, Sheketana. God, we worship and honor you, oh, great King, oh, God, for you know the desires of your children's hearts, oh, God. You know how to meet every one of their needs, oh, God, where whatever respect the places that they're in, oh, God. Whether it's in ministry, oh, God, or starting ministry, oh, God, or they want to, Lord God, just love on you, oh, God. Thank you for loving on us, oh, God, in this moment and in this season, Lord. We know, Lord God, that you know the numbers of hairs. You know when we lie down and when we rise up, oh, God. You know, Lord God, that you have a great plan, and we understand, Lord God, that we must trust this process, oh, God, but there's times, oh, God, that it gets hard, oh, God, but you're the only one, Lord God, that has all the wisdom and knowledge, oh, God, that can reveal yourself once we get into your secret place. So, Lord, let us remain in that posture of place and position, Lord God, that you will speak to your children, Lord, of all things. Yes, God. Oh, God, and we can undo the things, oh, God. You can undo the things that we've done, Lord God. You can undo the things, Lord God, that the enemy has brought into the lives of your children, Lord God. You can make the correction, Lord God, when the things seem to be incorrect, oh, God. You're the one that can bring balance, oh, God, in the areas that need to be balanced, oh, God. So, Lord, we thank you that we don't need a V8, oh, God. We don't need, Lord God, anything, Lord God, but you alone, Lord God. You are all-sufficient, Lord God, and all-knowing, Lord God. You know what your children need on today. So, Lord, we come to embrace it all, oh, God. We thank you that we can embrace it all, oh, God. We thank you that we can embrace your relationship, Lord God. It's far more greater, oh, God. And when we align our relationship with you, oh, Rebbe Rioshia, God, you're the only one that can bring everything else back into alignment, Lord God, because it's all about you, mighty God. It's about you, great King. And we thank you, oh God, for stirring us up this morning. Thank you, oh God, for a new year and a new beginning, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for stopping, Lord God, our hearts, oh God, when our hearts once was hardened, oh God. Thank you, Lord God, for, Lord God, yes, God, I thank you. And you know that you are wonderful because we call you wonderful. We call you excellent. We call you love and honest, oh God. We call you intellect, oh God, because you are an intelligent God. Lord, we thank you that you are mighty and holy, oh God. We thank you that there is no replacing you, oh God. We thank you, oh God, that all the idols, oh God, of our mind and of our heart, oh God, have been cast down, Lord God, and sent into a place, Lord God, we will never return again, because we understand it. And yes, God, it is you, Lord God, we have. We live and move and have our being, Lord God. Bless, oh God, apostle or prophetess, Lord God, and on today, oh God, as you breathe fresh upon them, oh God, we pray, Lord God, that you will restore to them, Lord God, and refresh them right now. now in the name of Jesus, as you give them the words to speak, oh God, to your children, Lord God. May they that have an ear will be able to hear on today. And let it, the words, Lord God, not fall on deaf ground or dead ears or dead dry ground, God. But Lord, let it fall on good ground, Lord God, that it will grow throughout this year in the name of Jesus. We pray that you will touch Apostle, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, LaRon Matthews, oh God. We pray that you will cover him from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet, Lord. We pray that you will minister to him and meet his needs in the name of Jesus. We pray that all those leaders, oh God, that are on the line today, that you will send a refreshing to them in Jesus' name. Blow your breath on them right now in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, for all that you're going to do in this hour and this season as we give you glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. We pray for the sick and they shall recover in Jesus' name. We pray. Amen.
I stand amazed at what God has joined together, 'cause with the good times there were a few bad days, but we held on to the promise, the promises we made on the first day. I still choose you to have hope until we're old, to stay
faithful,
one day
at a time,
to care, to share the fear. The challenges we faced seemed impossible, but we made it. Now through any season, you remain the reason I remember and still choose you. To have, to hold, until to say.
Happy New Year. We truly are grateful to the Lord, and we give all glory to God. We thank each and every one of you for joining us for the Three-Strand Cord Marriage Talk with Maurice and Eugenie. What an amazing time. What an amazing year so far. And we thank God for being with you all again on the first Saturday, now January 2024. We thank God for everything, the small, the big. We just give him glory. We give honor to God, to my husband, Maurice, my friend, my pastor, apostle, leader, my king. I won't say my everything because God is my everything, but I thank God for him. I truly do. And through the ups, the downs, the ins, the outs, sad, I thank God for Apostle Maurice Simmons. To Apostle Dr. LaRon, to the visionary and host of this prophetic conference line, thank you so much for this opportunity to serve. We thank you, and we count it an honor and a privilege. Today makes 8 years that he's allowed us to serve, or God has given us the grace, but we thank you for the platform, sir, to serve. And so we so honor you on today. We give honor to Dr. Carlina Wilkes, who is so faithfully and committed to the assignments that God has entrusted her with. We thank you for always being available and present and praying in the background. And to Dr. Administrator, we'll say Dr. and the Administrator, Aretha Bryant, thank you so much for your love, your support, your commitment to not just this prophetic conference line, but we thank God for the commitment that you have with the Lord and to the vision of LaRon Matthews Ministries to RFPIM in Illinois. And so I say those names and not leaving anyone out because we have several people that come on the prophetic conference line daily and weekly. But when I think about the different states of where we are, I thank God that he allows us to reach areas that we physically can't be in, but there are kingdom-minded people that are sold out to God, that are committed to the assignment and are in place, and there are so many lives that are touched in by this prophetic conference line. So we honor, again, God. We thank God for giving Dr. LaRon Matthews this vision, and we salute you, sir. To the intercessor, I don't want to forget Evangelist Overseer Patrice Piggott. Thank you so much for your commitment, ma'am, for rising up early along with us consistently. We pray that God will restore back unto you the virtue that you pour out when you pray, you hear God, and you release the oracles of God through your prophetic prayers. We honor you, woman of God. And to the Restoration of Truth Covenant Partners, to those who are listening, to our kingdom sisters and brothers that are connected to Dr. LaRon Matthews, sons and daughters, God bless you, to our family and friends, and now to every listening ear, thank you. We pray that you're in tune to hear God and not to hear Maurice and Eugenie, but to hear God and what we would like to dialogue and talk about on today. We know that so much has transpired in 2023, and we are now in 2024, and we know the reason is that I expect greater. So in order to expect greater, there are some things that we have to give to God. And so we know that God is going to continue to do great work in all of us. And we are praying for those who don't know the Lord, that through what God gives us, that it is God, that we share the love of Christ and his word so people's lives can be changed, their hearts can be turned towards him for relationship purpose, not for religion, but for a relationship with him. And so without further ado, we want to come to you today in just dialogue. I'm going to give you three scriptures, and if you will allow me today, I will be reading from the Amplified Version and not King James. We're going to come from Proverbs chapter 3 for those who are writing, Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Then we're going to turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 8. 1 John 4, verses 7 through 11. Again, that's Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 8, and 1 John 4, 7 through 11. And Proverbs 3 reads, "Trust in the Lord, trust in and rely confidently on the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own insight or understanding. In all your ways, know and acknowledge and recognize him, and he will make your path straight and smooth, removing obstacles that block your way." 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 reads, "If I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but have not love for others, going out of God's love for me, then I have become only a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal, just an annoying distraction. And if I have the gift of prophecy and speak a new message from God to the people and understand all mysteries and possess all knowledge, and if I have all sufficient faith so that I can remove mountains but do not have love reaching out to others, I am nothing. If I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned but do not have love, it does me no good at all. Love endures with patience and serenity. Love is kind and thoughtful and is not jealous or envious. Love does not brag and is not proud or arrogant. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not self-provoked, nor overly sensitive and easily angered. It does not take into account a wrong endured. It does not rejoice at injustice, but rejoices with the truth when right and truth prevail. Love bears all things regardless of what comes, believes all things, looking for the best in each one, hopes all things, remaining steadfast during difficult times, endures all things without weakening. Love never fails, it never fades nor ends." I'm going to stop there. And then let's turn over to 1 John chapter 4, starting at verse 7. And it reads, "Beloved, let us unselfishly love and seek the best for one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves others is born of God and knows God through personal experience. The one who does not love has become acquainted with God, does not and never did know him. For God is love. He is the originator of love, and it is an enduring attribute of his nature. By this, the love of God was within us, in that God has sent his one and only begotten Son, the one who is truly unique, the only one of his kind, into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, that is the atoning sacrifice and the satisfying offering for our sins, fulfilling God's requirement for justice against sin and placating his wrath. Beloved, if God so loved us in this incredible way, we also ought to love one another." Thank you for the hearing and the reading of God's word. Again, that's Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 1 through 8a, and 1 John 4, 7 through 11. And what we want to kind of dialogue today is don't take love for granted. So So we pray that each and every one of you will hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say, and we thank those who will come in and comment and ask questions and make statements later. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Man, good morning. God bless you. We always say good morning, Holy Spirit. Good morning, Prophetic Conference Line. Good morning, Blog Talk Radio. Good morning, people of God. We just thank God for this opportunity. Amen. As my wife stated, to come back to this place to, amen, share from an authentic place. Amen. We always say we don't come by the way of our opinion. We come by the way of experience. We come by the way of the leading of the Holy Spirit. And we come by the way of the Word of God. Amen. If God has graced us with the wisdom to be able to dialogue from this place. And I certainly thank God, amen, for giving us the strength, giving us the endurance, amen, to be able to continue to do what he has mandated and signed for us to do. So I pray that you can open today, amen, to receive, amen, what we will share from this place as God has given it to us. And, amen, I know that many will be blessed. Again, we thank God for all that the Lord is doing. Amen. A new year. We say Happy New Year to many of you that we have not talked with or dialogue with. We certainly thank God for bringing us over, cross over into, amen, the new year on the Gregorian calendar. Many didn't make it, amen, into 2024, but I certainly thank God, amen, as we dialogue from this place, don't take love for granted. Man, we always say there are three types of people when it comes to relationships or marriage. There are those that are in a relationship, those that are desiring to be in a relationship, and then you have those that want to get out of a relationship. That's part of life, amen, that we're living in. And I certainly thank God. Honey, as I ponder on this week, and then, you know, we're dialoguing here, I just think about how when you look back over life, because God allowed me to have a retrospect look back, I would say from the 50 years, because a lot of my childhood years, the four from the early childhood, I don't remember a lot, even when I had to go through a surgery, having my navel removed when my mom brought me home from the hospital, being her firstborn. I don't remember a lot of that, but I was just looking at, you know, at life itself, and God has truly showed me some things of how so many people have taken life, taken people for granted, taken, you know, love for granted. And, you know, always say when people leave the earth realm, when people leave, you can't get that back. You can't get that back. That's why we have to seize the moment. And a lot of people are searching. They're looking for love. And I pray today that many will get their answers. And I pray that many will receive the wisdom or the nuggets that we will share from this place. If people are looking for perfect marriages or perfect relationships, you're not going to find them. Amen. But I will say this. There is a perfect God that help us and keep us on track so we can be the display of what he has ordained, what he has created in the earth realm, so people would know, come into a place of understanding to know on what he created, especially when we talk about dealing with love. You know, when I looked at this, you know, when you look at it from a relationship standpoint, you hear many people say, don't take love for granted. It's like, because that word, granted, can be used in so many terms. But when we look at it from this place, is really being unappreciative or unappreciated. And a lot of people in life, they don't realize what they have before them. And we know that love covers so many areas when it comes to God. Don't want to get too deep into those. Love, you know, today when we deal with love from a relationship standpoint, we know we first have to deal with it from being in that place with God. And, yes, we have to be taught to come into a place of relationship, because 2024 is all about relationship and coming into covenant with God, so that we can really know that we can love God from an authentic place and then come back again when it comes to relationship between a man and a woman, not based on what we're being sold, what we see people doing when it comes to what we think relationships should look like. Nothing new under the sun with God. There's nothing new under the heavens with God. That's why we say his love don't change. His love don't change. His love don't change for humanity. And when he's given us love for each other, don't you know that love don't change? People do. And I think we were dialoguing a little bit about that last night as we were talking. So love don't change, because if we have love in us as a people, and whoever we fall out with, whether it's marriage, whether it's a friendship, whether it's in family, or whether it's in relationship with ministry, church, you know, God, love don't change. It remains the same. And that's why when you went to the scripture in 1 Corinthians 13, the love never fails. You know, we can have faith, hope, but love never fails. And that's where we, especially as the believers, have to come into a place to know and understand that God's love don't change. And how we, when we put it in this proper perspective or place, dealing with this love, whether, again, it comes back to eros, the erotic love that me and you have for each other, husband and wives, we might change as a people, but God's love still don't change. Just like he created Adam and Eve in the garden. He brought them together to love. That was eternal love. But we understand, again, the fall of man, the separation that caused us, amen, to operate from a certain place against the love of God that he's established for us. So when it comes to love relationship, again, we talked about that. We dialogue on that. We cannot cheat ourselves when it comes to love. We know God's love is reciprocal. And that's why sometimes you see people, they will come into a relationship and they will cheat in the relationship. You know, people say a cheater is always a cheater. They must have been a cheater coming into the relationship. But at the same time, we can't cheat ourselves when it comes to love. Because when you love from an authentic place, when you love what I call genuine love, when you love a person and that love don't come back reciprocal, then it's almost like you're cheating yourself. Because most people want to be loved. Most people in humanity want to be loved. Some people don't know how to love. They may have wasn't taught how to love growing up as a child, or see the affection from whether it was from parents or loved ones or person that they may have came into a relationship with, didn't get that love back reciprocal. Because there are people living in the world that are abusive. There are people that are manipulative. There are people that are controlling. There are people that are evil, whether people want to believe it or not. All this is real. So this is why, again, we have to really come into a place to let God love direct us. Because don't you know love is searching for you? Love is searching for you. So when love finds us in a place, I would say in a place with God, because he is love, as you stated, honey, when we find ourselves in a place with God, then love can find us. We won't sell ourselves short. Many people have sold themselves short because, again, maybe low self-esteem, or maybe desiring to have somebody just for companionship, or maybe because loneliness, you know, wanting a companionship, or because they seen somebody else, maybe friendship, they seen other friends, seen like, you know, they got it all together, they got it going on, so a lot of people don't want to be left out. And, you know, and I understand a lot of people learn from hands-on, or they're watching, as we shared in many of our dialogues over the years about, you know, we sometimes watch parents, we watch family members, we watch other people, we watch things on TV, we watch all these different things in life of what we think marriage and what love and relationship is all about. But this is where I believe that God wants us as a people to come back to what? The first love, which is him, and then allow him to teach us about love so we can understand that we could be loved too and loved right, that we don't have to be rejected. We don't have to be ostracized. We don't have to be walked on, walked over. We don't have to be treated in a way like we're nothing, because a lot of people live in that type of life. And when God showed me just a retrospect, look at my life and look at our lives and look at the things that are going on in life, we know things have changed. People have changed. We know times are not like they used to be. But at the same time, we got to allow God to point us back first to him and then teach us how to love from the proper place so we can put them in their proper perspective.
Let me add this before you go in. It was something that you said. And when you think about love, don't take love for granted, and you define the word granted. And when you think about the word love, so many, and you gave illustrations of growing up, TV, you know, what we see. So often some people, or many, let's just say this way, many attribute love to tangible things, things that they can reach out and touch or things that they can have. But until we understand love God's way, meaning that we need to be filled on the inside. It's what's on the inside of us, what's permeating on the inside. And in order to receive or be filled with God's love, we also have to be filled with his word. And we have to seek him on a daily basis. Now, I understand for those who are not saved, but you still can read God's word in order to understand how to love. First, you must love yourself. Well, go back. You first love God, but you have to learn how to love yourself before you can love anyone else. And that's the mistake that many make, even in women. They want to love someone else, please someone else, but they lose themselves. They lose their identity of who they are, and they forget who they are on the inside because they're doing and working and giving and going so much that they lose themselves. But when we just take a pause, hit pause for a moment to, you said take a retrospect look. When we take a pause and just allow God to remind us who we are, how he created us, our purpose, to be intentional of who we are, then we can perfect God's love in us, that it'll be perfected outwardly. But so often we forget that we have to deal with the internal. So it's not about the tangible things. Because listen, and I don't say this rudely, and you know this. And so when I think about being in relationship or being married, it doesn't necessarily mean that I need you to do things that I can't do for myself, because I am I think about a lot of strong women, not prideful, but just strong, that were reared up that whatever you do for me, I can do for myself, other than the sex. Let me just say that. But I'm talking about when it comes to taking care of bills, responsibilities, having a home, a car, doing certain things. So often people, when they don't define what it is God needs for them to have in a relationship, they go reaching for things that is not necessarily what they need, but it's what they want because they don't want to do it. And you sometimes get burnt out or you get tired. But at the end of the day, I know how to treat myself, so why am I going to let you come in and do anything less than what I expect for me? And when I say treat, it's in the emotional and intimate place. I'm not talking about, again, the things, the house, the car, the land, money. I'm talking about as far as what I need internally. As far as communication and being able to have conversation, that don't just hit the surface, and that sometimes when I don't say things, you know exactly what it is that I'm either trying to say, whether it's through body language or it is just things that if I try to start a sentence, you finish it because you know my heart. There you go. So I believe in this hour, not just this hour, we need to focus more on God's love and how he wants us individually to take him in, to carry him with us all the time. And again, if we don't love ourselves, we cannot love someone else above us first and foremost. Not talking about God, because we always have to put him first. But when it comes to the natural body, individuals, people that's right here before you, you cannot love someone and pour more love into someone else that you're not willing to do for yourself.
Good. And I believe that's what the Lord is teaching us, because I know a lot of people don't want to hear it from this man or this place. Sometimes love from a place, when it comes back to relationship, it's going to cost you something. You know, it's a sacrifice. We know that God did it for us, but at the same time, when it comes back to the affectionate love for one another, it's going to cost us something. Sometimes giving up people, giving up things, that's why when we come into covenant relationship one with another, it's again where, you know, I'm not necessarily physically leaving my family, but spiritually I'm leaving my family. Coming into what? To make a new family, because that's what the Bible says, when a man leaves his mother and father, he comes to a place now to cleave with his spouse, with his wife. He cleaves with her. So it's not necessarily I'm leaving them behind, but I'm creating a new family. And this is how, again, we fruitful multiply in the land that the Lord told us to, but we do it backwards. But God still look beyond all our faults and see our every need. He teaches us from not making those mistakes again. Life lesson learned, they should give us wisdom to not make those mistakes, you know, because, again, we're not perfect, but that's why we need God's help. We need him to show us how to love from an authentic place, from an affectionate place, because that's the love that he gave us. And when we allow that love to fall into us, really, it will penetrate our heart, and then we can love from a genuine place. A lot of people can't do that, again, because of what they have endured or gone through in life or what they was taught. As you stated, how cultures, how they teach about marriage, teach about relationship, teach about family, you know, all cultures are different. But it's still one God, and it points back to him who is the chief architect, the one that has ordained and orchestrated marriage relationships, and his love. That's why love is always the masterpiece. Love is always the centerpiece. And if we can tap into that and grab hold to that and then learn from that place, then it would teach us. We'll see it in life. We'll see it in humanity. We'll see it in the things that God has created and given to us. But, again, because of, I always say, what's been sold to us, what we've been lied to about. So some people never find that place. They'll never get to that place. So we're just what I call keep going around the mountain. We keep going around the mountain, jumping from one relationship to another relationship, and keep wearing ourselves out. And I say all the time, man, after you wore out so much, when you really come to the authentic person or the person that's for you, now you wore out. You wore out. Now you cannot be what I call effective for the relationship because you now wore out. Does that make sense? So that's why we cannot cheat ourselves. And I encourage a lot of brothers. I encourage a lot of women, you know, because of life experience, what I've gone through, what we have gone through, you know, in our relationship or you know, from the things that we have experienced. You can't cheat yourself. I hear a lot of men today, because they have gone through bad marriages or relationships, when they hear somebody saying that they're going to get married. They're like, now I have two of my coworkers. One got married yesterday, and another one is getting married in a few months. And you have those that have been married in relationships, they speak against the marriage. Like, you know, you don't want to do that, or, you know, just, you know. And I just performed a marriage, a wedding, about a month ago, 2 months ago. And a lot of people call it a death sentence, but at the same time, I call it life. Because when two are coming together, become one, that creates a beauty. It creates something in the eyesight of God that's saying, wow, look at the love that I have now joined together between this man and this woman to represent me in the earth realm of what marriage, what a covenant looks like. And that's what we have to really come to. We got to get out of this, what we call these lustful desires. I think you said it some time ago, honey. What's that word I want to use? Not match, but infatuated. Yeah, infatuated. All of this stuff that sends out false deception, illusion to delusion. You know, thinking about, oh, man, I'm going to marry Denzel Washington. Oh, I'm going to marry Halle Berry. I'm going to marry. See, we got to get out of those illusion to delusion, because there is somebody for somebody. But because people are living in la-la land, we are in a reality now. I mean, real talk. So that we can be the best who that God has called us to be. That's why you can't allow people to change you. Because coming into a relationship, you can't come in with a relationship in your mindset saying, I'm going to change her. I'm going to change him. That ain't going to work. You can't nobody do that but God. Our place coming into this relationship is, again, we have to learn this on this journey. Amen. Bless the Lord for the 28 years that God is bringing us into in this year. Thank God for, amen, allowing us to survive in, and he's still blessing us. We're still learning. Thank God for the wisdom he has graced us with. Amen. But it's going to take work, and we got to put the work in. That's why we can't get comfortable. We can't get at a place of, again, pointing the finger. We can't get at a place of keep judging each other. All we have to do is continue to love each other, embrace each other, look beyond each other's fault, just like God did us, and love from an authentic place. You love me in my mess. I love you in your mess, and that's what's keeping our relationship together. We know that God is doing. We tell people all the time. We're transparent about our life. It's all God. It's because we made a relationship with the Lord personally, then we came together as a team. That's why we're hashtag Team Simmons. And we always say we're not winning season. You know, we're not exempt from divorce. We're not exempt from separation. We're not exempt from, as Apostle Matthew said, intense fellowship. We have those moments because we're still human. But this is where we need God to work on us, to teach us, to help us to what? To what? Continue to learn each other. Well, somebody said, y'all should have learned each other by now. There's still avenues and places that we're learning about each other. And I think that's a good thing, because it brings out the best in you bring out the best in me, and I bring out the best in you. We bring it together to enhance what God has blessed us what? To be. And I think a lot of people don't understand that. And that's why, again, we have to be taught that. It's just not you go into a marriage and a relationship and think everything will be peaches and cream. It don't work that way. Amen? Just because, again, we've seen folks do it. We've seen mom and daddy do it. We've seen grandma and them do it. We've seen aunts and uncles and do it, our friends, other people we know. We see them do it. But, no, it's going to take work. It's going to take work on both of our parts. I have to accept your flaw. You have to accept my flaws. But we work on them. We work on them because that's the thing that we don't like about each other. And we have to allow God to work on those areas. Because, again, you can't change me. We stated that in the beginning of our marriage and relationships, we were trying to change each other, and we couldn't do that. We had to learn that because, why? It was almost like it creates tension. It creates a force that would cause us to really want to walk away. Did we want to walk away? We tell people all the time, yes, we did. But at the same time, it took God, amen, to help us, to teach us. Like you said, we had to come to what that scripture you read in Proverbs 3, amen. We had to get out of our understanding. We had to get out of our thinking and allow God to lead us. allow God to direct our paths to help us, me as a man and you as a woman. Amen.
So when you said that, you know, going back to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 in the Amplified, when it says, trust in and rely confidently on the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own insight or understanding. In all your ways, know and acknowledge and recognize him, which is God, and he will make our path straight and smooth, removing obstacles that block our way. So when you think about relationship, marriage, we have to put our trust totally in God, because God created us. And sometimes we can fill our minds and our heart with so much junk. And yes, there are certain levels of expect. There are certain things that we expect. There are expectations in relationship and in marriage that we do, you know, expect. But then we have to also ask the question, does it align with God's word, and does it align with his will for our life? So often you have many who build a foundation of what love is supposed to be, but never identify what the foundation really is. And it dropped in my spirit, because I thought about what you were teaching on word study night, and I had to think about the thing, because if we're building on the wrong foundation, and when I say wrong foundation, number one, are you building on the foundation of God's love, God's word, or are you building on the foundation of your own intellect, what you want, things, house, car, money, beautiful children, peace of mind? I get it. You know, we all want peace, but what are you truly building it on, and who are you building on? Are you comparing it to your family, to your friends? Are you comparing it to what you see on TV? You know, and as children growing up, there was this facade of what we saw on TV that we were like, oh, wow, why isn't my family like this? Why? You call it the American dream, but, you know, there were certain things that weren't on TV as we were growing up. Some, you know, there were certain families that we did see watching TV. Now, when you think about how many years later in this century where we are, there's so much mess out there, and I understand it's for entertainment, but so many see the limelight of what marriage is, TV, or you see the limelight of what you see others have, but you don't know the struggles that they had to go through to get where they are. You're looking at the end of a thing, and it's not a finished product. You're just looking at the end of the thing, an external thing, but you don't know all that it took internally to see what you see for, you know, certain family, friends, even for us. We have gone through many things, many, and there are things that we've shared, and there are some things that with time God is allowing us to be able to teach on, because we want others to grow, not just physically, but grow spiritually in the things of love, relationship, family. Whether you're single, married, divorced, or widowed, there's something that we all can bring to the table, because everyone desires to be loved, but to what extent? And whose love, or what are you trying to prove to yourself when it comes to love? If we can understand and fathom God's love the way we're supposed to, there are certain things that we would not put our in harm's way of when it comes to love.
Amen. And that's powerful. And that's why it's so important. Proverbs 8:17 says something powerful. It says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Now, and we know, especially when we bring it back to God, because I think you said it earlier, that many people we know that are not saved, we once were there. A lot of people listening in this morning once were there. And there's still a lot of people that's still there that they're really trying to, I guess, figure out life, trying to find their way. I think I said it earlier that love is searching for you. And again, we know that many people, as you say, the desire to be loved and want to have a desire to one day be married or marry again. Or now we understand if some don't want to be in a relationship or don't want to be married, you know, that's your free will choice that God has given many. But at the same time, I believe everybody wants to be loved. Even the homeless person want to be loved. I truly believe that because that's just the DNA or the makeup that God has given humanity. I don't care how low we go or how high we think we can get we are. Everybody wants to be loved from some place. So when it comes to us in a relationship, we just want to be treated with dignity and respect. I believe that's the authentic love and affectionate love that God has given humanity. But because, again, society is changing and people are changing, you don't see that. You don't see that. So people really don't know what love is. So we live in a land or in a society that is confused. And if confusion is in the land, then people don't know what real love is. And we know God is not the author of confusion. So if we don't know what real love is, and that's why we'll start what I call it, testing the fields or testing the grounds or just start testing. I call it taste testing. We'll start testing. We've been there and done that until we find what we really want. And again, we done tested so much that is it really what? Is it really? Did we really get what we want? After we get into it, we find out it ain't what it was all cracked up to be. Look, I'm laughing because I'm thinking about it. Lord, help us. Laughter is good for the soul. But we're talking from an authentic place because this is the reality we're living in. We're living in this, and it takes authentic people. When we say authentic people, this is people that are not afraid to tell the truth. This is people that will tell you, amen, what is coming, or tell people right, wrong, whatever, because some people just won't tell people what's wrong, what's right. But we have to. If we said we're God's representative in the earth, if we're representative of marriage, because our marriage is on display. Many people are watching our relationship, watching our marriage. They're watching everything you do when it comes to when they see, okay, we say we're Team Simmons. A lot of people watch it. Yeah, we tell people we flawed. Yeah, we tell people we have intense fellowship. Yeah, we tell people we got problems and situations. But guess what? Here's the main piece. Because we have learned to allow God to work out all of those things in and through our lives. We give it to him. We ask for direction. We ask for what? His wisdom. We ask for his knowledge and his understanding to help us in those areas. So it's important for us to come back to this place. Now, if love is searching for you, then you got to be found. Not found in a place where lust is looking, because lust is looking for you too. I'm telling you. What you say, said booty call. I said booty call. That's for real. Midnight rendezvous. Lust is searching. And it could become an addiction. I was telling people about, I think we was talking about certain types of addiction and how it can manipulate and control people. I think we're talking about alcoholism and drugs and how people, it changes people's lives. I mean, beautiful people from male to female. And I said, you know, sex and all of that could be the same thing. And that's how people go into perversion and pornography and all the different things from one bed to the next bed. And I think we shared in our last teaching about, you know, men got to quit changing the sheets. Amen. And we got to go to God. And if we have to allow God to put us in the right frame of mind and heart so we can start playing these games, because, again, coming back to male and female relationships, most of the time, if women are discerning, they'll know when a man really cares for them. They'll know when a man really loves them, because they won't play games. They won't be disguising themselves. They'll go back to what we told them about putting the mask on. They won't be hiding behind the mask. They will bring you around their loved ones. They'll introduce you to their family. They'll have concerns and cares about you. They want to communicate with you. They'll hear you. That's communication. You'll be dialoguing. or you won't be chasing them down and worrying about where they at, and when it's just time, like you said, when they just want a booty call, they shows up. So that's not in a place where someone is interested in you. You'll know when someone's interested in you. Amen. That's why we can't take love for granted, because people would take that for granted, and they will play on that. Now, I can say this from experience from the past of how to play them games, play in the field. People say, how can you say that? I mean, be authentic about it. Tell the truth. I mean, this is what I've done. As a man, as a young man in my immature state of mind, running the game, playing the game, the field. That's what we were doing, and some are still doing it even in their old age, still trying to be Mac daddies, pimp daddies, and some of everything. They're still doing it, playing the games. And women allow them to play them games. Why? Because why? They want affection. They want somebody to love them, or they want somebody to give them something. But that's what pimp daddy do. I give you a little pocket change. I'll pay your rent. That's where you go. Because they ain't going to give it for free at what cost. So this is why we got to be authentic and real. If we really want true love, authentic love, affectionate love, someone that's going to love us for who we what are, not for what we can give them. I mean, it should be reciprocal, but not because I give you sex, not because I give you companionship or conversation. No, it should be from the heart. And if I'm giving it to you from the heart, whether we have sex or not, we still should be able to love each other, even though that's part of it. They help us grow together, mature together in our love relationship. A lot of people don't get that and understand that, so we just sell ourselves short. That's why I say don't allow yourself to be cheated. Don't cheat on love. A lot of people cheating on love. I think when it comes back to God, I think, James 4:4 talks about adulterer, an adulterous generation. When we're a friend to the world, we become an enemy to God. And that's why I always say he don't leave nobody out, male or female. So James said it, that when we're dating the world, we put ourselves, we're cheating on God. So that's why we can't cheat on love. Amen. So it's important. Love don't change people. People do. Don't take love for granted, and don't cheat on love. Love is searching for you. Love is searching for you. I don't care how old you get. If your desire to be into an authentic relationship now from you maturing, growing up, I would say, developing in a place now where you won't make that bad choice or the decision that you made in the past, God will teach you. He will teach you and he will show you.
And with you saying that, you know, what just dropped in my spirit is, you are not ready for a relationship, marriage, I suggest highly that you don't date. If you're not ready for the commitment, if you're not ready for those things, then don't date. My thing is you have to make sure that you're in the right place in God, and make sure that it's him leading you. And about When you're not saved, many were testing. But in this hour and in this season, I'm just putting it like this. Many are too late in the game to be doing tasting and testing. Stop laughing. If and when we allow God to truly lead us, and when we are ready and open for that relationship, I believe God will, the individual know, because their relationship, first and foremost, is intact with God. And he won't allow anything that will come in to try to contaminate you, to connect to you. The level of discernment, or the spirit of discernment, we do hear, and I believe it to be true, is that the spirit of discernment needs to be heightened for so many reasons in this hour. But when it comes to relationship, you must know what you're getting. And don't let people say, why are you still single? Because God has not given you the go-ahead. let's just say, that, I mean, has not given you the green light. And sometimes it's not necessarily you, the individual. It could be the other people who are presenting themselves to you, that it is something that they see, but it is not the right motives that they're trying to attach to or connect to. And so I truly believe, even for the single, the widow or divorced, for those who desire to one day again be married, I believe that they're in their the Esther preparation stage, that God is already has prepared them in one life, but he's also preparing them for who God is sending. But they already know, I won't say a mile, they can sense from a distance that the one that is trying to come to present themselves as a God relationship is not them. So it's okay. I'm not there, but I have friends, authentic friends, true friends that are God minded, that when we dialogue, my ears are open to know that they're just not going to settle for anything because God said not to. And God knows what each individual experienced, so he's not going to bring that back to the table for them to babysit or groom all over again. That God knows where they are in this hour, in this season of their life, and he's going to bring someone to them to help add, to be an asset and not be a hindrance to them. Also, for those who are just getting married, I'm just saying for the first time, you know, we when I think about you and I, and because it has been going on 28 years in marriage, this coming marriage, Lord, stay the same, but we've also been in relationship for over 30 years. We grew together. We invested in each other. What I mean by invested, there are certain things that you didn't have when we first got married. There are certain things that I didn't have, but we learned to trust each other, and God allowed us to invest in one another as we invested in ourselves. And so often people want other people to come to them already established, already this, already that. And I'm not saying that you have to struggle, but I do believe that there has to be something that you want to be able to come together and grow together in, and not just bring what you have. And then there's no collaboration and no growing, and then all you get is this is mine, that's yours. Come on. If we're one and supposed to be one, then we have to come together. And there may be some specific that God will allow individuals to be able to say, okay, we did this together. When we can remove the I, my, me in a relationship and focus on we, us, then you can see the full picture of what relationship, love, and marriage is.
And that's good, and that's where I believe society, where we are making the mistakes or decision when it comes to that. Because, again, biblically, from God's perspective, when we are joined together, we do become one. But because many people are saying, I brought this in, I brought that in, so everything becomes mine. And a lot of people fall for the okey-doke. And this is why when things go south, amen, you getting out of my house. Or, well, hold up. Even though it's your house, you pay for it, but from an authentic place, from a love place, and we now become one, is not this ours? Now, that's, I told you, Hollywood will give you the prenup, and that's what a lot of people are taking on, the prenups. Yeah, and it ain't in the will of God, because this stuff we accumulate, I keep saying it, it's temporary. We're leaving this stuff. One bad, I think about my mom when you were talking to me. I started laughing because my mom was making us laugh when my mom was here, how, you know, her and my dad were married over 40-some years, and my mom, a beautiful lady. She was a beautiful lady, and she had men that were liking her. And, you know, seeing a single woman, widow. And my mom, like, I don't want no other man. Only man I want is Jesus. So I was laughing about that when you were talking. And we said, Mom, don't you want a friend? Don't you want companionship? And Mom said, But I understood that she was, you know, she had been with my dad for so long that she didn't want nobody. She was just at that place, like, you know, well, when the Lord take me home, which he took her home, but I just think about that. Then it's another lady, I'm not going to call her name, because the gospel sold herself short because after her husband passed, years, it took years, she got into a place, now started dating ungodly men. Selling yourself short. And this is where people will take love for granted. These older men, these men are now at a place now, you go to church, you preach the gospel, you're supposed to be setting the example before the lost or those that should understand and know what marriage and relationship entail, but because you are in your now emotions, you're in your own thinking, this is why we said earlier, don't lead to your own understanding. Now you're setting the wrong example because people are asking me questions about it. I said, I don't judge the woman of God. But I say I pray for her because she's making the wrong choice and decision when it comes to messing with the ungodly men. Because you want sex or you want a companionship or someone to talk to, you know better. And that's the thing that gets a lot of people in trouble because we know better. We know what to do and we choose not to do it. So it's important that we don't allow this love that God has given us, whether it's again from Eros, if, from erotic love, affectionate love that he's given us, from the agape love, which is him, because he's love, help teach us to love from an authentic place so we won't sell ourselves short. We won't give up the booty or we won't go around giving up ourselves or sacrificing to others when they're not willing to give up themselves for us. Don't that make sense? A lot of people, they don't want that because they know, you, most people know what they want. And that's why it bothered me to see a man and a woman live together 20, 30 years and never say I do or get married. Like I had to share with someone just the other day. I said, you already living you already living the married life. I said, only thing you don't have is the ring and you don't have the certificate in the court of law saying that you are husband and wife. That's the only thing you don't have. You're paying bills together. You're under the same roof. You're raising a child. You have all of these things. So what's stopping you from coming into a covenant relationship saying, I do, to death do us part or, you know? So we, that's why we got to examine ourselves. A lot of people selling us short. Love is right before them, and they can't even see it. It's right before them. And now you said something earlier that's powerful, too. You said that's why we got to let God check us. We got to get ourselves right. So we know, so when we, you said for not to date if we know we're not ready. Most people know when they're not ready. They might feel that they're ready. You know, good and well, you have not forgiven that man or that woman that hurt you in the past 5, 10, 15 years. And you want to jump into a dating arena or a relationship knowing you have not been healed. We talked about it in the past. We have to get some things right. And it has to be done in decent and in order for us to be a people that say we are children of God, we're people of God, to set an example. We could talk from this place because we experienced it and because God is teaching us. So we could talk from this authentic place to share from this place. So people say, well, how can you say that? Or how can you do that? You know, we are all human. We have our free will choice. We can do what we want to do. But you can rest assured, choice and decision that we make in life. So don't take love for granted. We can't take love for granted. Amen. God has given it to us.
Amen. And if I would end on this note, I would just say in order not to take love for granted, we have to be intentional, meaning that we have to make deliberate choices. We need to be purposeful and mindful of our actions, our decisions. And we have to make sure that it aligns with what God wants for us, with the word of God. And I understand there are many that are not saved, not in church, not believers, but it must align to positive values, positive. And make sure, you know, or attempt to make sure that you know what you're getting into. It's okay to ask questions about a person's past. Because if people are not healed from certain things, they actually bring that into a relationship or marriage And before you can really invest into the love, the relationship, it's almost like you're trying to restore that person before you can love each other. Does that make sense? So be intentional. Make sure that you know what it is God has and wants and needs for your life. Make sure that what God has spoken to you, spoken over your life, connects with what the other person is sharing, talk and dialogue. And I'm going to go back to something because I've had single friends, and, you know, even sometimes when our children were single, about dating in your home, that should be off limits, because if you're not strong enough and if you're truly not ready, that can open a door to temptation. And then you individuals have regrets because they realize that they shouldn't have allowed something in when that should be kind of off limits until you know God says, now, yes. So be intentional in relationship, and then that way love won't be taken for granted.
Amen. Powerful, honey. And I'm going to leave this with the people of God, and I think many know this, that have heard us down through the years in our teaching, that if you will make these applicable to your life, number one is that covenant relationship with the Lord, the covenant with, amen, the person that God is bringing you into a relationship with, and then come into what we call commitment, long life commitment, and when you're in that commitment, you got to communicate with each other, and then you can come into a place to cash out. You can cash out, honey. You can cash out. That means all out, cash out. It's just saying that. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. We certainly thank God this morning. We pray. Amen. We can go on and on and on. God has given us so much wisdom down through the years through the dialogues, the segments, through what we share. But we're going to stop right here for the sake of time. Amen. For any questions or comments this morning. Administrator, if there are any announcements or anything you want to give, commercial, before we open up the lines. Amen. Let's talk to Brian. You're there? Amen. All right. Well, we bless the Lord. Amen. We're going to open up. It's a blog. Dr. Wilton, do you know whether the blog talk side is up? If not, we're going to the conference line to open up for any questions or comments. Amen. All right. Everybody going back to sleep? Overseer Tigger, you still on? Star 6, let me know you're on.
I'm still on.
Amen. And when it get quiet, people go back to sleep. I know we want that body to rest. I always say, wow, the Lord is speaking, many are sleeping. All it takes for you to lay back down, and that snooze, that ooh, giddy.
That's it.
All right. Amen. I don't know if anyone, well, we're going to go, I say it again?
So I might as well come on in then.
Come on in.
All right. I just want to thank God for both you and Prophetess, because what you shared on today is exactly what is needed. Even though we all understand that February is Love Month, but no, we need this now, because we need to, this right here will show us, you know, it's like a roadmap of what we need to do, because sometimes we've gotten off track, you know, about relationship. And first, our relationship should be with, number one, with God first. You know, mm-hmm. And everything else will fall down, will come into place after that. He will teach you, you know, what needs to be undone, what needs to be redone over, you know, because the world has taught us so many different ways, and even in the decisions that we've made in relationships, whether we started, you know, having puppy love at a young age and we fell in love, or what we thought was love, but it was lust. You know, and we end up in these relationships, and it left some baggage behind, you know, and then we try to carry this on into one relationship to the next, to the point where our expectations of that individual you know, does not mount up because you're looking at something in the past or something that happened to you, or you're looking at something that happened to your parents or to your mom or to your daddy, you know, and all these things, you know, God wants to take and wants to reconstruct you, your mind, because that's where it starts, with the mind and the heart. And so in order for him to do all that, before you get into a relationship like woman, like Prophetess said, do a checkup. Allow God to do what he needs to do in you first before you even think about getting into a relationship. And even when you get out of a relationship, you know, to heal, you know, because even though I've seen so many of my friends, you know, that's been married for years, and some that's been married for like just temporary, like I want to say 5 minutes. I shouldn't say 5 minutes, but they've been married for a short time, and it's almost like they fell in love, but it wasn't in love. It was lust. And then they found out it was not what they really wanted. And then I have a friend that's about my age, and they've been married for about 20 years or more. And through their ins and outs, I thank God I still communicate with them to this day. When my friend's wife fell ill, he took the initiative and did everything that he does and still is to stay in the marriage. And they're my age. And, you know, you see so many times people, you would expect, you know, people to get old, you know, and get sick and stuff like that. But she got sick at her prime time, and he's taking care of her and their son and their child. And now she's doing a lot better and everything. But it just goes to show, where is true love? You know, I mean, they was in love with each other when they was in high school. You know, so they, you know, that's that. But all I'm saying is, Apostle, and I thank God for the opportunity for us to examine ourselves. There was a movie I saw last night. It was called Safe Haven on YouTube, and it's free for those that want to look at it. And this woman of God, this young lady, not woman of God, she got away and from something that took place in her life, and she started all over again. But then there was a guy that owned a store. He started liking her because she started showing interest in the little girl and her son and whatever. But she had a hidden past, and she was trying to get away from that past. But the past ended up coming up towards her again, and the guy didn't know. And just what happened, the guy was a police officer. She was trying to run away from her husband. And what y'all mentioned something about that, about the past, about asking questions and stuff. The dude didn't even bother to ask questions. He just fell in love with her. But then when he found out that her husband was after her and all this stuff, he didn't want to have anything to do with her. But then turned around, he decided, you know, forget that. I'm just going to still be with you, you know. And she tried to get away. But at the end of the day, it was almost as though her safe haven, which that was the movie, that, the, you know, the way she was getting away from something good was already coming up for her anyways. And so, but so good that we do ask questions. It is also good that we have to have discernment, like the woman of God said, you know, and don't allow people to tell you, because I remember people asking me, why are you still single, when I was single? You know, why are you still single? I said, because I'm waiting for God to send the right one for me. I ain't thinking about you, you know. And I just had that mentality because I knew how I was back in the days where I would, you know, be out there and just be, you know, flirting with this person, flirting with that person, you know, and end up getting myself in some crazy entanglements that, you know, that wasn't good for me. But at the end of the day, I broke everybody's heart, you know. But now that I realized all the stuff that I did back then, all the things that I'm dealing with now, and whatever my future that God has for me in the future, I praise God because I know that my relationship with him is number one. No matter what happens, no matter what goes, whatever stays, whatever release, whatever, you know, God is still going to keep me because I'm going to keep him first. So, Apostle and Prophetess, thank you so much for what you shared, because I don't want to take love for granted. I don't want to take God's love for granted. As many times as I broke his heart, I refuse. I don't want to break his heart because he is my first love. So God bless you.
Amen. That's powerful, woman of God. And you know, I believe, again, that many people, they have to seek and search out in that place with God for themselves, because you can You can share with people, you can tell people, but until they come into that place for themselves, they have to want that desire to come into that place. You know, we say, we always share, you know, we men prophets always share as leaders. We never in a place to get into anybody's personal affairs, anybody's business, anybody's marriage or relationship. But one thing we're going to give people is, amen, wise counsel. We're going to give them the word of God. We're going to go into prayer, and we're going to show the example how we've come together in a covenant relationship to pray and touch and agree. And a lot of people sometimes don't want that. And if that's the case, then we understand that. But at the same time, we can't take love for granted. And that's what many people are doing, because why? We may have been blinded by some things, or we may be hurt by people, or maybe dealing with some deep-rooted things in our lives, and it's still there that we don't recognize that it's there. We have to allow God to root up all of that stuff that's deep-rooted down in us. And if we don't, we'll find ourselves taking love for granted when authentic love has been set right before us. So thank you, woman of God. We bless you on today.
Amen. Can I add one?
God bless you.
I'm sorry, Prophetess.
Yeah, go ahead, because I want to come back behind you on something that you said. Go ahead.
There was something else you mentioned about foundation, and I wrote it down, and I wrote down false foundation, it will crumble, because people look for, like, when you say people, places, and things, like the noun, like the word noun is talking about people, places, and things, and people, things, to build their foundation, but the Bible says, put no trust in no man. And we already know that places, you know, are temporary, because, you know, houses settle, diverse weather takes place with those places that people go to. And then things, you know, it's like things that were rust, corrupt, and all these things, you know, these materialistic things, they won't last. You know, but when your foundation is built on Jesus Christ, the solid rock, you know that we can't go wrong, because he's going to be the one that's going to help build whatever it is that needs to be built in your life to sustain you. And when that relationship, when you do have that relationship, which I, something that you all said, you said something about me, my stuff, and my things, you know, when you have that relationship, you know, you'll have something to bring into the relationship. But I found myself, and just being real and open, I found myself even in my relationship where I said, well, that's my car, that's my house, that's this, that's that. You know, but what did y'all actually build together is one thing that you have to look at. And I thank God that you mentioned that, because it's like, ooh, that hurt, because I needed to hear that whenever I, you know, want to say this is my this and this is my that. I have to remove the I part out of it. Yes, God knows he gave all these things to me and allowed me to have them, but now I have to share it, you know. And I thank God that you shared that, because it's a revelation for me to constantly evaluate myself about. Okay, that's it. That's all I had to say.
Amen. Thank you. I had to write down the word share it so I can remember what my thought was to that. But going back to something that you said earlier, how so often many have gotten off track, and this is a place of where we come back to reconstruct, and the reconstruction is in our heart and in our mind. And then I'm going to go a little further that you were talking about the crazy entanglements that you yourself, but I'm going to talk about people in general, even including myself, that many times, you said we break God's heart, but we have to go back and realize we have to come to a place, not go back, but we have to come to a place to recognize that we don't want to take God's love for granted, because if it wasn't for him, none of us would be here. None of us would be here. We wouldn't have the things. We wouldn't have the family, the relationships. There are many things that we would not have if it wasn't for God's love. When I thought about the movie that you said, Safe Haven, and I heard your illustration, but I stayed on the title, Safe Haven. So many, when it comes to love, want to be in a safe place. However, in order to build, there's going to be some things that's going to come into our life that's going to be challenges. and challenging. But when we experience those things, it comes to help build us in God, and it builds our relationship. There are many things that my husband and I have been through, but I truly believe we wouldn't be where we are now if we allowed those things to break us instead of build us. But it was because of God's love and us putting God first in our marriage that we're still here today, and we look forward to more years to come. So thank you so much for sharing and expounding. God bless you.
Amen. All right. Bless the Lord. Looking for love in all the wrong places. Amen. All right. Star 6, open your line up. You got a question or comment. Administrator Brian, did we get you back, woman of God?
Good morning. Yes, sir.
God bless you.
Good morning. Thank you for sharing everything that you shared this morning. I thoroughly enjoyed the message on this morning. And I just wanted to share that being a woman that was married for 15 years, I've been out of a relationship. It's been a while. I've dated here and there throughout being divorced. And it seems like, you know, I know you have to be, you know, being transparent when you meeting the individual, and sometimes, you know, they're not basically honest or transparent. And I just thank God for discernment when they're, you know, the individual is not being transparent and doing those relationships. As I was dating, I had to wind up, you know, letting those individuals go. But it appears to me that, you know, the men that are approaching me are the wrong type of men. I don't know. But I am open, and I'm just waiting for God to send the right person. And that's all I have to say. But thank you. I learned a lot, and I am blessed by what you shared. I just thank you for what you shared on this morning. Thank you.
God bless you, woman of God. Thank you for tuning in this morning. I can encourage you from this place, as you always hear me say, as long as you carry yourself as a queen, the king going to show up.
That's right. Thank you so much, because I am not taking anything less than that.
Amen.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. God bless you. I truly thank you for sharing in the place of where you are as a divorcee and being single. And so I thank you for first and foremost having your relationship with God intact, building on that foundation. And it's almost still like Queen Esther. You know, there's preparation. And as the preparation is going on, you're serving the one that loves you the most, which is God. And I believe in his timing, it will happen. And sometimes when you least expect it, it appears. So you've already petitioned and prayed to God. And I believe it's just a matter of time that when you least expect it, God will present that gift that came to you because you're serving him. You've given him you. And so when the king comes or when God sends the one to you, you will be found doing the things of God because that's who you are and that's who you serve. So thank you so much for sharing this morning. God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you too.
Apostle.
Yes, sir. God bless you this morning.
God bless you. I thank you and the prophets this morning for your subject. I just want to remind everybody that you know, as we, those of us who have a relationship with Christ, you know, we have that foundation that we can build upon. But for those that are listening who are wavering, who don't have a relationship, make sure that you first a relationship with Christ so that you can find what true love is all about. And as you find what true love is all about, then ask God to send you that person. Again, me and my wife, we've been together for Next month will be 41 years, but 34 that we've been married. So we too have seen the gamut of the ups and the downs and the building and letting go and the arguments and everything else in between. But the one thing that we did find that benefited us more than anything else was the love of God. And when you find that love, you're going to be in the best place that you can ever be. Again, I thank you for this morning.
Amen. Thank you, sir. Thank you for tuning in as well. And you know, we encourage y'all all the time, man. Y'all are a great example for the kingdom of God as well as being a married couple, man. And I bless the Lord for y'all on this morning as well. Thank God for you, man. Amen.
I just want to say that I know we're not supposed to be proud, but I am godly proud of the both of you. And this is a great start for the new year for this marriage blog talk. And the things that I took away is when Prophetess was saying that it's okay to ask questions about a person's past because we don't want to get entangled and not knowing, you know, what's going on in the next person, in that person. But the one thing that I want people to remember is to be intentional and know and be sure that you know what God wants for your life and your relationships, and be and don't compromise. And that's to the future husbands and the future wives and even the ones that are dating, because sometimes we can get in trouble just in that dating arena as well. But I just want to say that thank you for the word this morning. It was really, really good. A lot of pointers. And I just bless God for the both of you.
Amen. To God be all the glory, Mother Steph. Thank you so much for sharing. I truly honor and respect you, woman of God. And we thank you that there's so much that many can glean from you. Thank you for being who you are, real and authentic, the real and authentic you, but the God in you. I love you to life. Thank you so much for sharing. And thank you to Overseer Thomas, because he made a great point too, that the best benefit or the most benefit that you both received together was receiving God's love. So that is so key and vital. So thank you both for sharing. God bless you.
Amen. Good morning.
Amen. Good morning. God bless you.
This is Nisha. I got a lot out of this. One thing that came to mind is I always tell, well, me and my husband, we've been married for 20 years in November. And first it seemed like forever, and now it seemed like, how in the world we've been married for 20 years? But one thing that I've been telling my daughters, it seems like, well, I know that there's like a spirit of feminism that's going around, not just the nation, but the world. And a lot of young girls have this idea that they're giving something away when they get married, because when you tell somebody that a man has to be the head of you, that puts, you know, I know how it felt for me, and that does something to people sometimes. They don't understand exactly what it is to be a godly man. So I had to explain to them in a way to say, your life is your life. And when you bring somebody else into your life, when you are accepting a husband, you're accepting a CEO over your life. Like when you choose your husband, you accept that person. I mean, overall, God is over us completely. But we're choosing somebody based off of the characteristics that we want in that man. And one thing, you know, coming from a non-messy place, if you have a foundation, you can know who you're supposed to be with by Galatians 5 and 22, where previous to those verses, it was talking about what not to have. But 22 through 24 is talking about those spirits, those fruits of the spirit,
And if you have that in a man, then you can, that foundation can be built, even if they don't, not showing everything. But if they have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and what it says, against such there is no law. That's an excellent foundation to have. And then those previous verses, if when you look at it, it's common sense. You don't want somebody at 5:19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, viciousness, idolatry, which would be a man loving himself, you know. Idolatry, I think the worst bit of idolatry is the love of oneself, because it's so many things that are wrapped up in that. And witchcraft, which can be when a person is manipulative. When somebody's trying to tell you, like a man coming to you and saying stuff like, God told me that you're my wife, and them trying to force that on you, and you know God haven't told you anything. You don't have to accept that into your life, because still your life, and God is the one who is, if you give covenant to this person, then now you stuck with this person after they just put a witchcraft on you before the relationship even started. And then it goes through all these other things that, you know, are clearly, you know, not of God, that are all of the flesh, which we don't want. And that's coming from a clean place, just knowing that before you get into a relationship. But for when you're married, like I would say in my instance, reading further down in 1 Corinthians 13, when it says at verse 11, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man or woman, in this case, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known. When I see this, it's sometimes we get into relationships, and we may not have those, the person that we chose may not have had those fruits of the spirit, but they may have had some of those fruits of the flesh, and we're still in a relationship with this person. And what we have to do is exhibit those fruits of the spirit and pray for that person to bring them into alignment with what God has for the covenant that you're supposed to be in. Because, you know, after we get into it, we in it. You know, you can't go back and just say, I'm going to divorce you, especially if they haven't broken those laws that are legal for you to get out of that marriage. So I just said all that to say that sometimes it can be messy. But if you look through the word, it tells us clearly how to go against all these things, all the things that can rip a marriage apart, especially with the feminism, especially with the people not knowing their place and not understanding how our covenant is supposed to work with God and with each other when we become one. But I got a lot out of it. It made me think. So now I got some more stuff to go to my daughters with. So thank you.
Amen. Powerful, powerful. Thank you, woman of God. Amen. Thank you for tuning in this morning. Good to have you on. My God, powerful. And you're so right. That's why we got to discern of the things that they're selling us into the earth realm. These movements, they're in the earth realm, and it's trying to shift the plan of God for humanity. We see it in movies. We see it, amen. I mean, it's in the land. And I just thank you for sharing that. Amen. Bless the Lord. All right. Administrator, you want to come in at this time before we open the lines back up?
Yes, sir. God bless you, Apostle, probably, and everyone that's listening in on the line. We welcome everyone that's listening in on Blog Talk and the singles groups that are listening in as well on this morning. And it's plenty of statements in the chat room about a well-needed topic on today, and they appreciate it. If I just make this quick announcement, we want to say Happy New Year from Restoration Foundation Prophetic International Ministries, Restoration Destiny Center, and the Ron Matthews Ministries. The new year of Dr. Matthews' schedule is quickly filling up, and if you desire to have Dr. Matthews to come to your place of worship or revival. He's also a licensed Christian counselor. Please give us a call at 877-912-2027. Again, that number is 877-912-2027. Or you can email us at LaronMatthewsMinistries@gmail.com. God bless your apostle. God bless your prophetess.
Amen. God bless you, Dr. Bryant. Let us govern ourselves according to the people of God. Let us continue to pray for the man of God as his endeavors. Amen. And to all those that are in covenant with the vision in this ministry. So we thank God for it. Amen. Bless the Lord for the single group that's listening in this morning. God bless you. Thank you for your comment. And to all of, amen, the kingdom leaders that have tuned in and joined us this morning, thank God for you on this morning. Amen. All right. Anyone else got a question or comment? Star 6, open your line up. Administrator, the blog side open. Oh.
Yes, sir, it's open.
Okay. Well, if you're on the blog side, you hit one on your dial. If you got a question for us this morning?
Pastor.
Yes, God bless you.
Oh, my goodness. I heard everything that you said this morning, and I enjoyed it. I thank God for what the young lady just said before administrator. And one of the things I kind of looking at yesterday, and after this, and God bless both of you.
Oh, Dr. Wilkes.
Yes, sir.
Oh, speak up a little bit. Didn't hardly hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got my volume turned down. Okay, can you hear me?
Yes.
You and Prophetess brought it out so well this morning, and the young lady especially that was speaking before the administrator came on, she really hit something in there. And I kind of mentioned it yesterday as I was talking to the youth. And I had, in 2021, I had counseled a couple. Both of them were divorcees. And in the counseling, there was some things that they had given a questionnaire, and we really did the weeks of counseling. And, excuse me, as I was counseling them, before they got married, the bride had called me about some things that she saw. And I told her that, you know, if you don't feel comfortable and if you're seeing these things, don't get married. And so she said she was going to pray. But make a long story short, eventually some things have transpired and the marriage did not last. Come to find out now that believe that there are some things that was illegal on his part, that he did that, reveal in the counseling and such things. And it was not something easily that you could discern in this because of the way of the behavior. So I'm saying this to the males and the females that are looking to marry or to remarry in this. Do your diligence. I don't feel that it is nothing wrong with you trying to check and see if that person is stable mentally. Physically, they can look good, fine. That's why. Physically, they can look like they got their finances and stuff all together. But before you just look at the what's blinging before you, take your time in really seeking God, is this the real thing? Because everything that glitters is not gold. And I say that because now this person is trying to not only discredit, he's been going around discrediting not only the pastors, they're going in certain discord between pastors throughout different states, and then the person's trying to scandalize me and the former mate. And so there's some things that's going on. So I'm saying this to you, that it is nothing wrong to do your investigation to make sure. Because these days, it's sad to say, it's really sad to say that you have to do all of this. But I like to say, if you don't, as my best friend and I say now, if you don't pray now and fast now, you're going to be crying later. And so this is something that, you know, can just, you don't want to be disappointed. You don't want to be heartbroken, say, well, this, that, and the other. It's just, you know, some people are not going to come clean. And I think I said something about this in my book. And so there is time that you have to, you don't think that you can marry somebody and change them, because that is God's job, not yours. God bless you, and I enjoyed you. And thank you both for just making it so plain that everyone can get something from this topic this morning.
Thank you, Dr. Wilkes. So powerful. Amen. And thank you for sharing that. Amen. We definitely have to have the wisdom of God to be able, amen, to, I would say, not only strategize from this place, but really to allow God to lead us, because it will create a problem and an issue in a marriage or relationship. So thank you for sharing that, woman of God. Amen. Before we open, we do have another question we want to address, but if anyone else have a question or comment, we want to hold about it. You start 6 over your line up. I believe we lost the blog side. Amen. Star 6 over your line up. You can come in. And God bless you, woman of God.
To you, Apostle, and my sister, Prophetess Eugenia Simmons, Team Simmons, what a great topic. Reading God gave you both to start the year off with love. It's a seed that most definitely needed to be planted again and put back into the atmosphere, because so many people, we have lost the understanding of love, especially with what's going on, gossiping instead of speaking love. It's just so much gossip going on. And your God gave you all the word to come back with love. So I'm excited about how the seed was planted again for me also. And everything y'all spoke has been on point, especially in this new place I'm in still. But a lot of times people are not listening to what the other person is saying. You have to really hear what the person is saying, especially the single people. You cannot make it be anything else, especially women, with us dating, to what a man is saying. He is saying exactly what he means and what he wants, and you can't force anything else. Pay attention. I ask some basic questions. And when I get them answers back, I'm like, no. And I'm done with it. I don't try and force anything else. I put it right in the category that it is. Because a lot of times we as women, the assignment is not about us being in a relationship with the man. It's about the assignment. You could be just there just to encourage them, and that's it, nothing more. Mean y'all going to be in love doesn't mean it's going to be in a relationship. You could be there just to give some advice and move it along. That's it. We have to be better listeners as women. But thank you, Lord, for Team Simmons, for allowing y'all to be in my life and structure that y'all have given me through my separation, through the divorce. I'm just thankful for God for y'all. In the area y'all are in my life. So God bless you. I pray for you, cover you, far away, but I'm always near. Love you dearly. God bless you.
God bless you, Prophetess Tina.
Truly thank you for sharing. And you are so right. So often we say communication is key. But in communication, there has to be one speaking and the other one listening. And sometimes in the midst of listening, sometimes it's not what's said, it's those things that are not said in between the lines that we have to catch and pick up on and take to heart. So much, you know, I'm not, but however, thank you for sharing that, because we do need to be better listeners. I'm raising both hands on that. Sometimes we're so quick and adamant to speak, but sometimes it's just getting kind of bringing our spirit and our mind in under subjection, so we can hear what's not being said so much as what is being said. So thank you very much. God bless you. We love you as well.
All right. Amen. God bless you, woman of God. Thank you. All right. Anyone else? Star 6, open your line up. Got a question or comment this morning? So many were trying to get in. All right. We're going to move right to this question that we'll put on the table. Amen. And then we can dialogue from this. Amen. It's a, what do you do when a wife wants to keep her last name and her husband want her to take on his surname as his last name, and it's creating an issue because the husband wants the wife to take on his last name, but she don't. Now, I'm going to dive right into this because it is a weighty topic or a question that's being asked. We know from, again, from my studies and research from the 9th century, or what they call the English common law, that have given, I guess, women rights to take on their husband's last name, or the right they don't have to take on the last name. But to be honest, I believe, now this is just my personal opinion, I believe person really loves the person and they have confidence and trust in the man that they're coming into covenant relationship with, then I truly believe that shouldn't be a problem. But evidently there must be some hidden agendas, motives, or something where they don't have full confidence or trust in the man that they're coming into covenant relationship with. I told you, I think we said it earlier about Hollywood, how, you know, they give prenups because they come in with money, they come in with investment, they come in with things that they have accumulated over the years. And they feel that, to me, is already saying that if this don't work out, they're saying that it's not going to work out to me. That's what they're really saying. It's not going to work out. So that means you don't get to take nothing with you. You came in with nothing, so you're going to leave with nothing. And I think this is the area where, again, so many people with their own free will choice can choose what direction they want to go in. But if two people come together as husband and wife, again, the man is the head. That's how God created it. The woman is his rib. She was pulled from man, and that's why she's called woman. If they love each other, then I truly believe there shouldn't be a problem with the woman taking on the husband's last name. Most women don't, but some do due to other reasons. I don't know if they don't have full trust or confidence in whatever the marriage or the relationship is about. But me, I personally believe that it shouldn't be a problem if they love each other. You want to say anything on that problem?
What I would like to say is let me say it this way. It grieves my spirit to know that this is an actual issue after the fact, when there should have been some kind of discussion before you said I do. And respectfully, you know, I think if more conversations are had and people don't just brush off responses, people don't just brush off responses.
I'm quite sure. I'm going to speak in the place as if this conversation was had beforehand. And sometimes because we love someone, they thought of it as maybe not a big deal. At the time, they'll change their mind. However, if the conversation was had and signs were there, then it should have been something that was more addressed and maybe the marriage kind of put on halt until there was a better understanding. Now, for me, when I married you, or when we came together and we got married, my father was deceased. So for so long, I did used to write Eugenie Williams Simmons for a reason. And that was because my father, who I love dearly, was no longer here. And I wanted to always represent and still represent who he was in my life and who he still is in my life. And so quite often I still will say Eugenie Williams Simmons because he is still a part of me, although he is not here in the natural. And what I was trying to find is to see if it was biblical. And I don't see where it says it's biblical that a woman has to change her name. But it is tradition that it happens. And so to know that it can destroy or interrupt or bring chaos into a marriage is very saddening, because if you are one, and I understand your point, honey, so I'm not saying I'm against what you're saying, but there are reasons why people say and do and won't change. But my thing is there should be a respect level, and that should have been a conversation that was had before instead of after. And now you're willing to, you know, have arguments and maybe even, you know, separate over something as such as a name. I believe that you should come together, reason together, but there's always something else behind that. There's always more to the surface of a thing. And so we, just like Prophetess Tina said, there's some things we should not ignore. That, I believe, was a conversation, and sometimes it's brushed off that causes more chaos and confusion later, but it should have been dealt with in the beginning.
Amen, and that's good. That's so true. I believe we have some more leaders on that might want to add to this. Amen. You can start to open your line up and come in. Dr. Matthew, are you on, man of God? Dr. Will.
Good morning. God bless you.
God bless you, sir.
God bless you, Apostle Simmons, and God bless you, Prophetess Eugenie Simmons, and the people that got on today. I want to go back to something you all were talking about getting to know somebody's background somewhat. I want to say that you guys are doing an awesome job on today, and I'm really been blessed on today thus far with what I've heard, and it's really been life-changing, I know, for many people. At the same time, some years ago, we were dealing with one that happened similar to this one, and the question came up about dating, and someone asked the question, I think, about interviewing. I don't know if I was the one who said it. And that became a major topic throughout the entire conversation. Administrator Brian, do you recall that one, the time we talked about that?
Yes, sir.
And we talked about that on our Monday night, and the question was, you need to interview the person before you date them. And I said, oh, you want to interview, that's not biblical. And the list goes on. I'm glad you all approached this question today, maybe just a little different in terms of how you presented it. But it's still imperative for people to really get to know the person, the individual, whether it's from a church perspective and personal perspective, but at least know what you're dealing with. Because oftentimes we pass up the red flags because of believe somebody mentioned it, of things that we feel that we can do or we can change or we have power to do. You try to change an individual, especially after marriage. You literally wreck the marriage because you're trying to do that. So that was a very good point that you all are addressing or addressed today. The question on the marriage and taking on the individual last name, I believe that once you entered into what we call a union or a covenant, you suspend anything outside of that because you're taking on that covenant. And I know there are certain things that doesn't have biblical terminology behind it, but I think some things don't have to be biblical. When love enters into a relationship, it covers all of those things totally. I think when you look at the history of the Word of God or the history of King or Queen, she's taking on the crown. So she's not taking on the clown. She's taking on the queen, not taking on the fiend. And so when you're entering into that place, you're taking on everything that connects with him and her, not he and he, not she and she. So when that person has made that choice and decision, it should be understood, number one, before that, so that when you make that choice, you'll be able to know what to expect. In life, it's just good to know, and that's a thing to know. Now that they entered into that covenant, it's a questionable thing, and that's a challenge when something becomes questionable. Now, in the midst of a marriage, doesn't make a difference 1, 2, or 3 years, 4, or 5 years. It becomes questionable for the individual person. I just believe that if that's a decision that you made and you enter into, then you have to adhere to that decision and choice. I'm not taking anything away from marriage. So when I say adhere to that, if he's there and you allowed him that responsibility, I think the woman of God said, well, to be the chief executive officer of that family, then stop trying to buy stocks into what's already paid for by you. Let me give you a perfect example. When Queen Esther was going into the presence of the king, and she was trying to do it in a record time because she had to save the Jews. And she called for a fast, 72 hours, 3-day fast. And she made up her mind that if she goes in, she's going to go. If she perished, she perished. Mordecai trained her very well. And so when she came into the presence of the king, he had a code. Every king have a code. The reason why they have the code is because there would be, even the queen would set them up, the women would set them up. So as she entered into the presence of the king before time, because she had to wait 30 days, he said these words, "What is it that you desire of me, even the half of the kingdom?" And look at what she said. She requested a banquet. And listen to his code. "What is it that you desire of me, even the half of my kingdom?" What he said, "Even the half of my kingdom." Now, had she said a car, as she said, half of the kingdom, it would have been forbidden, and actually she would have been killed, murdered, at the throne. Why? Because his code was, what is it that you desire of me? Eating to have for the kingdom. She didn't need half of the kingdom. She already had the key. So she didn't have to ask for anything. She had the key. Half of the kingdom. She didn't have half. She had the kingdom. She asked for a banquet to bring the enemy to the table, to expose her. So what am I saying? She's asking you, honey, I want you to carry my last name. It's an honorable thing because she's going to get the inheritance. She's going to get the kingdom. She's going to get the blueprint. She's going to get everything that belongs to him because he asked her to do that. Now, if she still want to keep half of her, it makes it difficult to have the whole entire thing because it's a challenge when you enter into the covenant portion and not a full cup. That's all I'm saying. So from that standpoint, I think it's wiser and better just to do what's necessary to bless you. You don't need a long driver's license. You need to simplify. You don't need a long book. You need to simplify. And I think that's the best way to do that. And that's kind of like my take on that. Apostle Simpson and Prophetess. Amen. Somebody
else? Yes, sir. And that's good, too, Prophet. And I was just dialing with my wife. I was sharing with her. To me, even in this case, it's identity as well, even though, you know, each individual has their own identity in the relationship with the Lord. But just like, you know, when they gave us rings, and I was sharing with her how a lot of men don't wear rings. So most time when men look at a woman or women look at a man, to see if they're married, they look at the ring. So if he got a ring on, that means he's married. If she got a ring on, she's married. Then that means you don't touch that. You don't approach that. So to me, it comes with identity because if a woman or don't have the last name, then it's almost like saying you're really not legally married, even though you're married on paper or you're saying I do. But at the same time, it's saying that, okay, you're leaving the door open saying I'm not married, even though I still take on my last name, even though it's not biblical. But at the same time, out of respect and love for each other, again, these are our opinion, but I thank you for breaking it down from that way. When we come into covenant, such as, you know, as with the king, you get in everything. I know people can change things, but at the same time, to me, I look at it from a place of love and respect, coming into covenant relationship, if you had that for each other. Something, my wife said it earlier, if it had been addressed in the beginning and talked about it, then why would you marry this man if you didn't want to take on his name? That's the question that we need to ask, or many people need to ask if they don't want to take on the name.
And that's important for people to really understand that. That's why when you're sitting down looking at a person, don't look at their body as your definition. You better look at that brain as information that you need. We try to master everything on the external and miss what's on the internal of an individual and person. And until you really get to know the individual and know what they're about and understand them, then you can make those decisions because it's just good to know. Some people don't ask questions because they feel that, well, I feel offended, or they may feel some type of way. It's better to feel some type of way than to be in the house and be abused in any kind of way. So it's good. It's just good to know. Just good to know that area. It's just really good to know.
Prophet, yeah. You was coming in. Come
on. I was only coming in because of something you said, but that may open another door. So. With that said, I know we're talking about last names, but you just made mention that a man
after, you know, when they get married, they choose not to wear a ring. So what would you say to someone who's having an argument over not wearing a ring versus not wearing their last name?
And that's true. I know a lot of brothers that I met that are married but don't wear their rings. And I encourage them because I said, well, that opened the door for temptation. Because, again, if you're – some may do it because they don't like wearing jewelry, then some may do it because then they have lost their ring. But at the same time, to me, you don't want to leave no room for temptation or the enemy to come get in. Because most of the time, I will say this, because I experienced being out there, amen, as a man. Most women, or vice versa, most men, they're going to look to see if this woman is married, if this man is married. They don't see no ring on the finger, then that is sending a red flag or signal saying, okay, this woman is not married, so I'm going to approach her. Now, you're going to have men going to approach women regardless. But I'm just using this as an example of how when we don't see the ring, then you know, okay, that ain't private property, so I can go and address her or I can go and address him. So some people might not think of that. That's just my take on it. But it is what it is. To me, I feel it's identity because what we say the ring represent. Ring represent covenant. So I'm in covenant relationship with my queen, which is you. That's what that ring represents. I'm married. That means I'm taken. Can't nobody else have me. You might desire me, want me, but this ring letting you know I'm taken. Okay? All right.
And that's so important, Apostle and Prophetess. But at the same time, I believe what comes from the heart reaches the heart.
Yes,
we have a lot of individuals in the world don't understand the institution of marriage and what it means to be married, especially from a spiritual perspective, because most leaders or people in pastoral, even female, they're in so much spiritual adultery. When God comes, it's going to be a big penalty. Because a lot of people invest in these buildings and these people and not their husband or their wife. And the scary thing for me is I see a lot of people on the opposite end of the spectrum. They will do everything in their power for this church building, to make their office great, to make their pulpit beautiful, to make their seat grand. Ministry, music ministry, the best in the world. The front row seat full of leaders. But the infrastructure of the house is so dilapidated because of how they are. And then I look at so many powerful men. They wear this big bishop ring, but they don't wear the ring that their wife has, or they have. So it's somewhat misleading and confusing, because I don't want to start an argument here, in that area, because it's such a sad timing in the world, watching and viewing and seeing that, what's going on, especially in the institution of marriage. I was just doing a little study last night that the black race marriage is 35%. White rate is 55%. That was just statistics. I was just going over just yesterday. Married, the black race, 55%. That's really stunning. Really, really, really stunning to see those numbers alarming. Children-wise, more whites having children than black. That's stunning, too. But that's another setup as well. So these are real, real stunning things. But I believe what comes from our reaches to heart. But there's a little twist to that. I'm gonna jump into this twist here. The twist is this. A man can wear the beautiful diamond ring or the beautiful gold ring on his hand. It really doesn't make a difference, especially now. Didn't when I was married 2 years ago. That's why what comes from the outreach is hard. To have that ring is a phenomenal symbol to the institution of the both of you. But even now, even having it, it's an easy access for two people as well, too. When you don't wear the ring, it always going to open up a door. When you do wear the ring, it lessens the door, but it doesn't close the door of the opportunity. That's why what comes from the heart has to reach the heart of an individual person. So I'm just sharing it from that perspective as well. It is really important to be a representative of that institution that you have in, and you all are connected together for. I'm not trying to go any further, but, you know, I just wanted to put that out there with the marriage and with getting the last name. Apostles and prophets and the people of God. Yeah.
Amen. Yes, sir. Thank you for sharing that, Doctor. Amen. That's why we were sharing this morning. It's so powerful, man, that we as humanity or people, man, we don't take love for granted.
Right.
I believe that when love, as you stated, when it comes from the heart, amen, it will, I believe, gravitate from that place to the heart. And many people may not understand that because their heart had been crushed or because of hidden agendas or motives or, again, from past pain, hurt, disappointment, all of those different things that's resonated in so many people that they have suppressed. And I think we have shared it on many segments about how people suppress so many things and feel that they're okay until they are confronted or faced with some of the same issues or situations from the past. Even with this situation, we don't know what this woman of God, maybe she's a woman of God lady, may have faced in the past based upon name change. We don't know. So, but to me, again, go back to what my wife said earlier, that conversation should have been held in the beginning when it came to that point of saying, I do. About the name change. So, you know, people have different opinions and thoughts on different things. We know every relationship and every marriage is different. We know that, but still, God is the chief architect. He is the institutor of this covenant. And I just bless the Lord for teaching me and gracing me with wisdom to be able to understand it even the more as we on this journey. Mm-hmm. So I just bless the Lord, man. Amen. All right. Amen. You wanted to share anything up, Prophet, or I'm going to open it up for any more questions or comments?
Well, I have one more question, but I'm going to leave that one alone because that's going to be really heavy. And maybe we'll have to pick it up at a later time. Yeah.
Yes, sir. Amen. If you're listening in, you got a question or comment, you can star 6, open your line up, any question. Based on relationship, marriage, single, widow, divorcee, you can come on in and ask that question. We have great leaders up here that will give you an answer, amen, or help you out where you're at. Come on in. Bless the Lord this morning.
Phenomenal morning again. I have a question. So many people have chose to just live together versus going before a judge or before the church to actually get married. I don't want to say right or wrong, but is it right to just live with someone? Because me and Mary, we were talking about this last night when we were doing some Bible study together, and this gentleman that we knew, he lived so in the Old Testament, and he shared about that the children have the last name, but she doesn't have the last name, and they've been together for years. He committed to her, but he has not married her. So he took some coins to her dad, like in an old testament, to pretty much like he paid for her. But the thing of it is, she still doesn't have the last name, but their three children have the last name. And I'm like, I didn't go back and forth with him. She didn't either. But what makes that right? Because you have so many women that have, that's not married, but the children have last name, they don't. And they think that's okay. What are y'all thoughts on that?
All right. Good question, woman of God. I think I shared a little bit of that earlier in something that I brought out concerning that. You know, again, to each his own. I have seen it even in family down through the years and even see it some today. My take on that is, again, it goes back to what Prophet just stated, the heart. If two people love each other and you've been together all these many years, you created a family together, you're paying bills together, you're under the same roof. Something is wrong for that person not to want to really marry that person. Now, some people believe in common law. And when you're in a commonwealth state, when you live together for a certain amount of time, they feel that you're already automatic married. And I believe here in the state of Virginia, it's similar like that. So if a person never go to, into the court law, this is why leaders have to study the courts of law, the laws of the land, and also the laws of God. Because, prime example, if you're in a certain state and it's not common law, but you live together as a man and a woman, you're accumulating things together. Get children. Children might have your last name, but you never married. Or the individual could have been married and gone through a separation, and his first wife or the first husband never get rid of the last name or whatever. In the court of law, don't you know if something happened to that man or that woman, don't you know the person that he's still or she's still legally married to is subject to? And I think Prophet brought it out when he's talking about the king. And that's the getting everything. I know a lot of people don't look at possessions and different things. Don't you know the court of law? You don't invest it in this relationship. You don't invest it in this household. All of these things. Now, all of a sudden, if something happened to this man, the other woman that he was legally married to, still probably has his last name, come in, can get all that you accumulate. You ain't nothing you can do about it in the court of law. Nothing you can do about it in the court of law. That's why we got to do everything in decent and in order. We got to conduct business right. And a lot of people don't understand that. So this is why you get a whole lot of confusion and chaos when it comes to when something happened. Man, I done seen people go into fights and some of everything over foolishness and crazy when you should have dealt with this in the beginning or you thought it was okay. To me, I feel a woman is cheating herself when she lived with a man for all these many years. And she have a desire to want to get married, and he never don't want to marry her, but you live in the married life. To me, I have a problem with that, not just me. But you cheating yourself, and that's part of a sin when I was sharing about don't cheat love. Because if this man say he love you, and you have a desire to want to get married, but he don't, then to me, that's cheating love. But you have to understand the laws that's been implemented. Because the law is going to go by the laws. And if that's what they say, then they're going to get everything. You be out there in la-la land wondering why you ain't getting nothing because you didn't handle your business. That's just my take on it. You want to share anything on that, Prophet, you want to share anything, man of God?
No, you're so right in that area. There are many people done that in recent years. I've known several cases where that has transpired. The man and woman never were divorced, but he moved on, and his ex-wife or the separated wife got those benefits, received those benefits, and received the house and received some other amenity, and she didn't get anything, even though he made it known and talked about it, but that would never transfer anything, never put anything in place. And even when sometimes when you deal with wills, if it was not solidified, then it still leads that person out of position. That's why it's so important to have everything in order, as you say it. But here's what's important here. There you go again. You guys are talking about a very powerful subject. I was doing some studying just the other day, and this is so important. And I was dealing with where did marriage exist? When did it exist? When did it come into effect? A marriage. And marriage came from the Middle England. It was the first thing in 1250 to 1213 CE, the ancient institute. However, likely predated this time. Main goal of marriage was to serve as an alliance between family. So parents thoroughly throughout history arranged marriage for children that would benefit both sides. Most couples didn't marry because they were in love, but rather for economic liaison, is what he was talking about. According to the Weeks, the Institute of Marriage is over 4,350 years old. The first recorded marriage took place in 2350 BC in Mesopotamia, the history of the marriage. Then the getting of marriage, when a man gives his wife daughter away, it was because of the way they instituted. So now I'm giving you daughter because she was once under my authority, responsibility, and he giving her away. So that's why a lot of these things were instituted and done. However, at the same time, when the love is a major factor in anything, that changes the dynamics of all things. I don't think people in the 21st century, and even then, but now, really understand the value of that. I think they understand everything flesh wants and what flesh desires, but trying to move into that area is very, very important, very pivotal. And people are marrying for love, a lot of people, what I see in here. It's for loneliness, sex, security, and those lists goes on. But for love, we can learn to love each other. We can learn to do this. I think I heard one former leader said this. Niles Monroe, when he's talking about relationship and marriage, he said, I think he mentioned this. I can't understand it. I had to do a little bit more study and even go in depth about it. He was talking about married for love. That was kind of unique when he said that. I have a different take on that institution because that's a whole different dynamics. But if you're going to step into that arena or do that, you really want to make sure you don't enter into it unwisely and unawarely. I believe that's what even some of the words talk about when they talk about that marriage and that institution.
Amen. Yes, sir. Amen. We pray that helped our prophetess Tina. But even in that, I was dialoguing with someone yesterday. And that's why it's so important we understand marriage and covenant relationship. And I remember sharing this some time ago about giveaways, takeaways, and turnovers. You know, for some reason God gave me that analogy about the sports industry. When you have that, giveaways, takeaways, and turnovers, when you have that in a relationship, it will create defeat, and then it eventually lead to what we call divorce, separation. And I was dialoguing with the person that was telling me that now I know the person personally, and the person, he messed up because I was encouraging him, talking to him, praying with him. he was giving me some respect, but at the same time, he still was doing what he wanted to do. He wanted to have both worlds is what I call it. Play the field, had a beautiful wife, daughters, but at the same time, again, allowing other people to come into his space, other brothers, and talk to him about certain things and then step outside of the marriage and relationship. So when he messed up, it pushed his wife to a certain place. And sometimes, again, because of emotions and feelings, it'll push to a certain place. And her going to this place, it caused her again to, I guess, get back, what they call get back. You know, I'm going to pay you back. I'm going to go outside of the marriage relationship, cheat on you to do something to hurt you or do something. So in the midst of that, it caused the relationship to go into separation, then eventually go into divorce. And when it went into divorce, guess what? The ex-wife said, I don't want no property. Because, you know, when you go through that in the court of law, you know, people, we have property, investment, all this stuff in play. This brother had to yield his ex-wife over $300,000-some. And in the midst of him having to come up with that money, he had to sell property. It came out that he had to go back selling drugs. So when it went, pushed him back to selling drugs to get all of this money in the court of law to give to her, he ended up getting set up and get busted. Now he's pulling time, fed time in prison. Man, it hurt me to my heart. You see, the enemy, man, his assignment is to steal, kill, and destroy. So when we get into this state of mind of the giveaways, takeaways, and turnover, guess what it creates? And a lot of people don't understand it from that point. So I was like, man, wow, this is what we're dealing with. That's why we can't take love for granted, man.
And open up those doors, because that's a door he opened. That's
yes, sir.
Door we open. And people really don't understand. That's in life. We have to be very careful of the doors we open. We call them doors. In the spirit world, it's called portals. We open these portals, and we walk in these portals, and you don't know what you allow to happen in allow yourself to be put in, right? Sad situation.
Yes, sir. Hard go out for him, man. Praying for him. Amen. Bless the Lord. Amen. All right. Anyone else? Star 6 off your line. Got a question or comment this morning? All right. Prophet, is any final words from you? All right. Well, we've done profit. We certainly thank God, man of God, for this opportunity, man, to be able to share from this place your platform. 8 years in the white state, 8 years, man, time is flying. Man, I mean, consistent
wow.
Being here. Yeah, 8 years, man. New beginning.
Man.
Amen. That's the Lord.
Look at that.
Yes, sir.
8 years, man, such a blessing. I'm impacting and connecting. And we've been knowing each other for a while now.
Yes, sir.
Family for real. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Honor the Lord for you all. Yeah. I don't want to say anything else, man, but bless you. Thank you all so much. I'm telling you, wow, it's a blessing. But, yeah, I've been blessed today. I really am.
Yes, sir. Amen. Talk to you. Come on.
Amen. I am truly grateful to each and every one of you. Thank you to those who did share and expound and ask questions. And for those that were listening, I pray that God, the Lord, has truly blessed your hearing and your spirit, and there is something that you received on today. I do want to end on this, and I think I said it earlier, in order not to take love for granted, intentional about relationship and about our marriage, and be mindful of the choices and decisions that we make, and always know that in relationship, I'm going to say for our marriage, there is purpose in it. You just have to be able to receive and know what that purpose is to be effective here on the earth. We want to be able to draw people to God because of our relationship, not draw people to us. And so I thank God that he has and still is teaching us on this journey to be intentional about what we do and not to take love or each other for granted. So God bless you all. Thank you so much for joining us on today.
Amen. All right. Administrative, you, can you come back to give us the giving information if you're still on to be a blessing to the Men of God ministry for the work that the Lord is doing here?
Yes, sir. If you'd like to bless the men of God or sow into the ministry, you can do so by visiting Cash App at money sign RFPIM. You can mail it, we restore you at yahoo.com. Also, you can go to the website at www.werestoreTheletterU.org, or you can call 877-912-2027 or 708-825-1988 if you would like to sell.
All right. There it is, people. God be a blessing. As we always say, no seed is too small, no seed is too great. So into a pocket, you shall reap a rich reward. Apostle Paul says, sown unto your spiritual things, to reap your carnal thing. Thank you for being a blessing to this conference line, to the vision that God has given the man of God. And Prophet, thank you so much, man. I'm telling you, man, it's just a blessing to be in this powerful year that we're in, 2024. Many of us survived so many different things on this journey. Many of us just tapping into our relationship with God and learning more about what God is doing. And there are powerful kingdom leaders that come on this conference line and minister and teach and prophesy from this place around the world, that so many people's lives are being transformed and changed. So tap in, people of God. Amen. Amen. Tap in. All right. Well, we're done, Prophet. I'll turn it over to you, man of God, if you have any final words.
Well, man of God, I just, once again, thank you and your phenomenal wife for all that you all have done and the impact you all have made on the conference line in Restoration Truth Ministry in Newport News there, and our connection, man, God, that has been such great connection, and such as years go on, have become stronger and stronger. So we thank God for you and all that you all are doing there and the lives of people that you all are touching there, man. It's just a blessing, and I honor the Lord for you and Prophetess Eugenie and all that you guys are doing there and with the men and women of God there in that ministry. So we thank God for you all. Thank you, Administrator Brian. 2024, I'm expecting some great things in the middle of the most challenging times for a lot of people and at this turning point. So we thank God for what the Lord has allowed us to do, stand, and even connect with. Such a blessing to see and view from this place of all of the great things that God has given us to do, to see and to experience unto this. So I thank God for you, woman of God. I thank God for you, man of God. And the greater is coming. The greater is coming. The greater is coming. Matter of fact, the greater is here. And what we experience is the challenging of those who crossed over into areas and arena that was illegal, and they opened up the doors for those. So we thank God for you all there, Restoration Truth Ministry family over there